Good morning, Ling. Thank you so much for joining me. Can you just share a little bit about your background so that everyone who hasn't had the pleasure of having a chat with you is aware?
My name is Lynn Rattigan, and I am the owner and principal CV writer at my company, the CV Writing Service. Before that, way back in the day, I was a HR professional, and then I transitioned over to running my own business just to support people to get the work that they needed and that would fulfill them through CV writing, application filling, obviously LinkedIn profiles as well. We first met many years ago, I think, Jamal, when you were a client of mine, when I think you were transitioning your career into the privacy sector.
That's right.
And then you've given me this opportunity to work with your clients as well, which I really appreciate. And we're looking forward to it. Just me and my colleague, Jane, we'll maybe already worked with some of your clients, or we will work with them in the future.
Yeah, it was very difficult to find some time in your diaries.
Yeah, life is busy. It's hard to say what the pandemic has done. We've certainly got busier. We're usually pretty fully booked because we work in a small, bespoke way. We're not a big supplier, and that's what we're happy with doing. We like to give a lot of time to our clients and your clients to make sure that we're moulding the right CV, telling the right story about them.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think I spoke to probably 12 different CV writers. When you initially said you're overcommitted and you can't help us out, some of them were charging a lot more than what you charge. Some of them were charging a lot less. But regardless of how much they're charging, when I was having those conversations with them, I just didn't feel like they connected on the level with what we're trying to achieve. Whereas with you, they seem like it's something you're quite passionate about. You genuinely want to help people. And I think that's why the quality of your work is so great. And when I was thinking of someone to bring into our team for the Privacy Pro Accelerator program, there was no way anyone else met the same kind of standards that I got used to with you. And I was like, Lynn's done such a great job for me, my family, and my other friends. I just couldn't imagine. It would be a compromise to have anyone else. And so I had to come back to you twice, three times, and then convince you to work with me. So I'm so happy you're part of the team.
Thank you. I'm blushing, which is very unusual for me. Yeah, I think it's fair to say that you and I are sort of kindred souls in that we have the same ethos about supporting people. Yes, we run a business, but we want it to be right for our clients. So yeah, we sort of clicked, didn't we, but way back in the day. So I'm very grateful that you've thought of us for this opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you as well. Today, we're going to talk about how LinkedIn is really powerful when it comes for job searching and for especially for someone trying to transition their career and also as their continued career development, because personal branding is really big. So my first question to you, I guess, is why do I or any of my students need to use LinkedIn when starting a new career?
Okay, LinkedIn is mightily powerful. I think there's now 22 million professional people on LinkedIn. So that's the sort of connection and contact side of it. But what's maybe not so apparent is how recruiters work on LinkedIn. And when I say recruiters, I'm not just talking about recruitment agencies, I'm talking about in-house recruitment for employers. So 87% now of recruiters use LinkedIn as a tool. Wow. It's very, very powerful. There is some evidence now that they're actually moving away from the big job boards like Indeed, Monster, etc., and moving more to LinkedIn because it returns them good results. So the first thing to know really is recruitment and recruiters is a very big business for LinkedIn. They don't actually get their money by you and I sort of taking their premium services. It's recruiters and businesses as well. They've got two real big income streams. For recruiters and recruiting teams, they can pay up to £7,000 per person per year to have a license on LinkedIn.
Wow.
So if you're talking about, yeah, it's significant. They're not all at that level, but you know, the top premium level is currently about £7,000. That means recruiters use it in a very, very strategic way because it's an expensive overhead to their business and it has to work for them. When recruiters come to LinkedIn, they search LinkedIn's database using a keyword matching service. So if they're looking for a privacy professional, they will be using those obvious terms like GDPR, privacy, data protection, etc. So although it can seem really self-evident for you when you're writing your LinkedIn profile to put those terms in, it's really, really important or else you're not going to be found. Recruiters also look for both latent talent and current talent. So they use LinkedIn in a very strategic way. It's not just people who are evidently looking for jobs because they've put I'm open to jobs banner on. Mm. It's also they're looking for that talent that might be considering moving at the moment, so that they can get that talent before it goes to their competitors, basically. So, yeah, from a recruiter's point of view, it's a very strategic tool. From our point of view, when we're writing your LinkedIn profile or you're updating your LinkedIn profile, we do it to optimize that keyword attraction. So recruiters run their search with the keywords. They then are returned results, and they're returned a massive amount of results depending on the keywords. They will typically look at the top 200. What we also need to do on your LinkedIn profile is make sure you get higher up in that search pile and that ranking. Mm. And we'll give you tips and hints as you go along to help you do that. And we're going to talk about some of those in a few moments to think about how you can not only just write a great profile with the right content so recruiters come to you, but also how to keep that profile relevant and make sure you get higher up in that search pile. If you can imagine the recruiter who's sitting there with 200 short form CVs to go through from LinkedIn, they aren't going to go to number 200. That's short as short can be. Most recruiters have like a caseload of 10 vacancies at any one moment. They're not going to go to 200. So how you get up in those search results is as important as the content. So LinkedIn's working for us on two levels: content, keyword optimized, and the things that we can't do when we write your profile that your people need to do, which is keep up to LinkedIn and make sure that they're adding the correct content and doing the right actions on LinkedIn and interacting with it in the right way to make sure that they keep getting higher and higher in those search results.
How long does a recruiter normally take when they first look at your profile? Because with CVs, they say you need to capture someone's attention within 3 to 10 seconds. Is it similar with like a LinkedIn profile?
Absolutely. What recruiters see is not your full profile when it's returned in results. There's certain areas they see: the headline, your education, your skills. So it's really important to maximize those areas. They will take, on average, 7 seconds to scan the results that return to them and make the decision if they're then going to go and have a look at your profile. So the stages to their decision making: one, we've got the right content so that you end up in the pile; two, that's in the right place so that they see the evidence in the right place; and three, do I want to look at this person's profile and see if I want to actually connect to them.
And one thing you mentioned was having the right content. And this might be something we speak a little bit more in detail about a little bit later on. But when you see the right kind of content, the right kind of posts, for someone who doesn't know what the right kind of content, the right kind of post is there some advice or some kind of guidance you can provide on that?
In terms of content, the profile, we've done the legwork for you because you're working with us and it will be correctly optimized. When you're posting and interacting on LinkedIn, your voice needs to be authentic. There's lots of competition and lots of noise, and it needs to be done in quite a thoughtful way. Would I want to share this with my colleagues in the office? Is this sort of news that I want to share? Yes. Is it professional? Absolutely. It has to be professional as well. And it's helpful to use content that's easily shareable, easily clickable, so that people who are interested can access it in a way that they want. Videos, for example, are very, very powerful. The content should be professional. You shouldn't drown out. I sometimes suggest to people that they actually make a little calendar for their LinkedIn posts so that they know that maybe it's a couple of times a week, but what they're saying is of interest and is of relevance. We don't want background chatter on LinkedIn. I hate it when I hear LinkedIn is social media for professionals, because social media is really about chit chat. LinkedIn is not about that. It's also about giving something people will be genuinely interested in, maybe sharing your insights. It's not just about promoting myself. It's what can I genuinely share with this community so that they are interested. The content that you share in posts once your profile's optimized is really, really important. It's also important to say that LinkedIn, like any other form of social media, rewards you for interacting with it. They have no platform if people like you and me don't interact with it. So they reward you for more and more interactions, and you become, again, it's quite ruthless and quite cutthroat in some ways. You get higher up in search results for putting informative posts on LinkedIn. and sharing and being a good community member, really.
And do hashtags in the post help with having higher up in the searches?
Hashtags will help if you share hashtags. Again, relevant hashtags. Don't just share everything that you ever see and pass on. It's all about the relevance and the relevance to your profession, your particular post. So hashtags help immensely.
Great. You mentioned the voice about being authentic. And one of the things I know that some of my students struggle with is that they say, I'm struggling with finding my voice. How do I sound? What do I say? I'm not really sure, especially when it comes to doing something like a video and sharing maybe their experience on one of the classes on LinkedIn. Even though we can see that's actually what gets them traction, one of the things they really struggle with is, I don't know how to find my voice. Is there any tips you have for them who might be in that situation thinking, I'm trying to find my voice?
Think about who you would normally use your natural voice with. It might be a partner, it might be friends, it might be family members. And speak as you would speak to them. Obviously with professional tone, but speak as you would speak to them. Don't feel pressure to use buzzwords, what I call posh words. Be authentic in your voice. So if you would use, not slang, but if you would use colloquialisms that old people would understand, use it. It's fine. It's about being relatable. So before you do it for the first time, if you're feeling a little bit nervous about that whole video, just say to somebody you trust, just have a listen to this, see what you think. Does that sound like me? It does or it doesn't. And they will maybe able to give you feedback about, well, that doesn't sound like you, Fred, because guess what? You would never use that word. It is the slight things. Don't feel that you have to be somebody you are not and you have to be a souped up version of yourself. You absolutely don't. People can tell by your body language and how you're interacting on the video if you are not being yourself anyway. Be yourself. Run it through with a friend or somebody you trust. And then when you're feeling confident, go for it. Think about the background as well. It doesn't have to be a totally professional background. Best without any distractions, obviously. You know, you don't want the dog or the cat interrupting you. Mm-hmm. I say that because I'm very worried that my cat might, so forgive me if it actually happens. Think about the background as well, what image you're portraying, but it can be in a very sort of laid back sofa area, etc. So that helps you be natural and be yourself when you're on LinkedIn or any video.
All right, great. That is super useful. I'm sure it will give people the kind of confidence they need to start posting a little bit more regularly. Thank you very much for that, Lynn. The other question I had for you, actually, while we're talking about posts and content, is one of the things I've noticed a lot of people doing is they tag other influential people in that similar space. Is that something that you recommend doing? And if so, why? And if it's not, then why too?
The jury's out on this. My personal opinion is it's not going to be particularly useful. Those influential people hear so much noise. They will have somebody managing their LinkedIn account. It's got to be something super special for it to get in front of their eyes if it's in a post. What can be useful, though, when you are job searching is to look up influencers and follow them because you get to understand their business more. And when you're writing applications or adjusting your CV, that can be massively helpful. But I'm going to be honest with you. You will hear two very different opinions on that. It doesn't work. There are too many people doing it and people are managing the accounts. If you can imagine what Richard Branson is not looking at his own LinkedIn account, that's for sure. You mightn't agree with that. You're an expert at it and you do really well with it. But as I say, two different thoughts.
I'm your student when it comes to all this stuff. I take my directions from you. I apply and it works and I just stick to what's proven. One of the things I encourage my students to do is I say, hey, I'm happy for them to tag me in their posts because I know it's helped some other people with their reach. And I will usually interact with my students, anyone that's on any of our programs. Should I encourage them to continue doing it or should I ask them to stop doing that?
I think you should encourage them to interact on a personal level when you have that personal connection with that person. Yeah, absolutely. You have a great reach. You will help them and you will support them, but it's in the right field of influence. I mean, I took a very extreme example there. I was talking about Richard Branson. When it comes down to a personal connection, massively, massively professional connection, it's massively useful. So yes, that will absolutely help the reach, the profile, and getting known within the industry that they want to go in because you're a professional.
Fantastic. Thank you. Now, let's move on to the next section. And this is a little bit more about top tips for optimizing someone's profile to attract the right recruiters and hiring companies. Can you tell us a little bit more about how somebody can optimize their profile? I know you're going to help our students initially, but progressing on, and if they want to make some tweaks, what are some of your top tips for optimizing their profile to attract the right recruiters and the right hiring companies?
Absolutely. First of all, as I've already mentioned, LinkedIn rewards you for interacting with it. So make sure that your profile is absolutely optimized with the correct keywords for them. Fill in all the sections. You will actually get points, so to speak, in the algorithm for filling in all the sections. So I see loads and loads of profiles. Summary is like one line and they haven't bothered to fill in the job history. So make sure everything's filled in. Gets you higher up in search results, basically. For your cohort that are transitioning their career, it's equally as important to maybe take away and reduce some of the earlier roles that mightn't be relevant to privacy. And that's simply because you're going to attract the wrong recruiters to your profile, especially when you first start out. You mightn't have that much privacy experience. So what's going to dominate in your profile is your previous career history. Really reduce that down, fill it in, but one line. So don't feel that you have to tell the world everything that you've ever done. It will be counterintuitive when people are searching for you on LinkedIn. The thing that drives me mad: never let LinkedIn autofill your headline. If you just put Lynn Rattigan CV writing service, you're promoting the CV writing service, not you. The headline is absolute prime territory on LinkedIn. It's what catch people. It's tough because you only have 220 characters to fill it in, but that should never just say your name and your company. It's your selling space on LinkedIn. It has to have privacy. It has to have data protection in there. It has to, if you're a project manager, has to say project management. Those terms are really, really important on LinkedIn. The skills section, which a lot of people just sort of overlook or just use it, is a section that where you can get endorsements from your colleagues who've worked with them, and they're really useful for credibility. But the skills section is absolutely crucial in getting you higher up on search results. So never, ever skimp on the skills section. Make sure it's balanced as well from your technical skills, but also your people skills as well. You've got the technical skills of foundation. Your people skills will add value. The skills that you put there are actually far more important than having endorsements in there in terms of getting you higher up in search results. And the other section that's really, really powerful for two reasons is the recommendation section. So that's where you actually connect with a contact and say, please, can you recommend me? And that does two things. One, when I'm reading your profile, I've come to your profile as a total stranger or a recruiter, it adds credibility. We all know that our CVs and our LinkedIn profile put our best foot forward and are going to a certain extent say, I'm great at this, because that's what they're there for. Mm. What the recommendations do is give a mass of credibility to your profile. It can sometimes be hard, and there seems to be some sort of reserve about actually going out and saying, please, could you recommend me? But it's expected on the platform. So be brave. If you're a little bit shy or hesitant about that, please step up to the mark and do it. It's going to be good for your career. But it's also a significant section for getting you higher up in search results, a really heavily weighted section in that algorithm to get you up in search results. So that is doing two things for us. So they would be sort of my top tips.
All right, got it. So that's making sure that we get rid of any of the older search terms from any previous jobs, making sure that we never let LinkedIn autofill our headline. The 220 characters that we have there should be talking about what we do and not the company that we represent. We could always fill in the skills section with the relevant skills and keywords. And when it comes to recommendations, that could be the difference that puts us a little bit higher rather than a little bit lower. And the difference between the recruiter looks at my profile or somebody else's profile when it comes to or to fill a potential role. And one of the things I want to follow up on a little bit more is the relevant skills. Are there any particular skills that you can identify that should be a must for any of my privacy pros?
Again, state the obvious, put data protection in there, put your qualification in there. You do have to state the obvious because the keyword optimization working in that way. For you guys, we're looking at attention to detail, that meticulous. You have to be very, very organized. We need to look at your client-facing skills as well, or your customer-facing skills if you're going into a sort of a workplace, you're not sort of striking out on your own, and those relationship-building skills as well. Don't forget the soft skills. They are equally important. In terms of common skills and competencies that most recruiters are looking for, yeah, state the obvious, the communication skills, the report writing skills, the ability to be concise and convey really quite complex information in a simple way. I think because you're privacy professionals, you don't realise how very complex your world is. Mm-hmm. But when I work with you, I'm sitting there scratching my head and have to ask lots of daft questions to understand your world. So that is a real key skill. If you have project management skills, absolutely fantastic, because it talks about planning, scheduling, organisation. And depending where you are in your career, maybe initially you're not going to be going into a management role, but if you ultimately want to go for a leadership role and want to develop that, put those leadership skills in there as well. So the ability to motivate people, to engage with people. But that might be a little bit too far in the future.
All right. Thank you. Very helpful. You've given enough tips there for a lifetime for most people. Thank you. All right. The next section is there anything we should avoid on our LinkedIn profiles?
If you wouldn't say it in the office, don't say it on LinkedIn. As privacy professionals, you will have great knowledge about personal data, and I'm sure you'd never fall foul of that. But you can fall foul of employment law. The written word is immutable. Once it's there, it's there. And how people interpret it and take it can be very, very different. So my rule of thumb, and it's particularly when you're interacting on LinkedIn on posts, is if you wouldn't stand up and say that in the office, don't put it on LinkedIn. Most people have heard about other social media tends to be if people express extreme views or discriminatory views that they can be taken through disciplinary process. That has happened on LinkedIn as well. And it's happened in very subtle ways. And it usually tends to be when people are interacting. So, for example, I managed a case many, many years ago where a guy inadvertently gave away how much his bonus was. And it was commercially sensitive information. It was through a conversation, and he was excited because he'd done really, really well. And that guy, unfortunately, ultimately was dismissed because it's A, commercially sensitive information, and B, it brought the company into disrepute, and all sorts of HR-y things as well. So it's not just the obvious. What you don't do is, if you wouldn't say it in front of your boss, it never, ever goes on LinkedIn. It's a bit of a scary tip, but that is my top tip on LinkedIn, because people, genuinely lovely people, have fallen foul of it.
A lot of people like to write controversial posts to get the engagement or the interaction. What would you say about those?
I think I'd say the same. Controversial posts, yeah, they do catch attention. What is it saying about you as a professional? Is it coming across as aggressive or belligerent? If you want to be employed, that is a bit of a no-no if people can interpret it that way. So I'm going to go back to what I said. Would you say that to your boss? Yes or no, in a conversation. If you wouldn't, don't put it on LinkedIn. What do you value most? Do you value having a lot of traction on LinkedIn with all the great things it can do for us? Or do you value your reputation as a professional? So proceed with caution. Some people can get away with it and do get away with it, but the majority of people don't, unfortunately.
And one of the things I've seen creeping in on LinkedIn now and then is a lot of people treat it almost like a bit of a social media site. So, for example, stuff that you might see on Facebook previously in the past about how somebody's feeling or what they've had for lunch or where they've gone for a walk. Do you think that's appropriate for the LinkedIn platform? Some people say it adds a bit of getting to know you as a person. Other people say it's probably best for other social media platforms. What's your professional advice on that, Lynn?
My view is it's best for other social media platforms. As I say, I hate it, the term that LinkedIn is social media for professionals, because social media does speak of those everyday interactions, the dreaded post of what we've had for lunch on Facebook. Does it speak to you as a professional? Would you share that with all your colleagues in the office? No. Would you share that with your clients? No, it's not a professional tone for me, so I don't believe that we should do it. And it also adds to the noise and background on LinkedIn. There are other avenues to share that, and it's great to share it on those avenues. Keep LinkedIn for the professional tone. You are representing yourself professionally on LinkedIn. You're not going to walk into a new client or a new customer in your place of work and say, guess what, I had a lovely lunch. So don't say it on LinkedIn.
All right. Great. That leads us to the final section. So once I've got a new job in the privacy profession, do I still need to use my LinkedIn? Do I need to still concentrate on my personal branding? Now that I've got a job, can I sit back and relax?
Yeah. LinkedIn for job seekers is one thing. LinkedIn and interacting with it. No, don't sit back and relax. Carry on interacting with LinkedIn. It rewards you for interacting with it. It will help you in your future job role. I know it's really hard to think about that when you've just secured your job role that you love, but it will help you because your visibility on LinkedIn will help you next time around. So if you want to be really hard-nosed about it, you're looking for the future and you're looking to make sure that you don't have to start from square one again when you come to a new job role. It also gets you noticed slowly and surely by that just build-up of interaction. As we said earlier, set yourself a calendar. Look at it as a professional context. Say, I'm going to do 2 posts on LinkedIn this week. Just catch yourself there and say, have I got something meaningful to say? You probably will have. We can all share something, I think, twice a week, but just make sure it's something meaningful. If you've got a really big project and it's very original and, you know, it's very exciting, feel free to do more. But give yourself the discipline of, I'm going to post twice a week on LinkedIn.
What's the why someone should do it? What are the kind of benefits that they will enjoy if they continue this?
Benefits are they will be in their market. They will understand their market from different points of view. They'll have the bigger picture just rather than their job role, because we can get really, really focused on what we do and think that's the whole world. So they'll be interacting with other privacy professionals. They will be ahead of emerging trends, or at least up with emerging trends. Mm. You'll be able to share your learning. You'll have, you know, there's a community of best practice there that just by interacting on LinkedIn helps us with it massively. Most people have solved the issue that you have at work before. And, you know, it can have that really practical implication as I've come across this. Has anybody else? Can anybody support me? 22 million people on LinkedIn. Somebody's going to come across the problem before, and it can help you do that. Mm. It advances your professional reputation as well, which is really, really important. And it's never something you can buy, especially when you're starting out in a new career. You have to build up that professional representation. So, yeah, there are massive benefits to continue with it on LinkedIn, both personal benefits, professional benefits. And, you know, doing the right thing and sharing your experience with the community as well, it is a very rewarding thing to do. So, yeah, there are lots of benefits of it.
Great. And is there anything else that you'd like to share with our privacy pros, Lynn?
We tend to think of LinkedIn as a mutable platform, but it constantly updates what it's doing and its functionality. And it's absolutely rubbish with sharing it with us, our members. It's really boring stuff. But just go into the background of LinkedIn, your account, and see what's changed in there, because there's all sorts of functionality that they quite randomly change, don't give anybody any notice of. Mm. Just recently, probably about 8 months ago, they released a function which was open to work. You might have seen it, this little green banner around people, yes, to say they're open to work. And it was great because they did that in response to the position that a lot of people were in because of the pandemic when they lost work. But who did they share it with? It was shared, but it was really hidden away. So go into your account and see what's changed. For you guys, see what's changed in your privacy settings, because they really do update those an awful lot. So yeah, there's all these advantages that you can have, and there's some hidden stuff that go on that they don't share very well.
All right, fantastic. I think that's a very strong start for anyone serious about their LinkedIn profiles. It's great. Thank you very much for all your help, Lynn. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you as always. And the information that you shared with us today is super valuable, especially for our Privacy Pros who are about to transform their lives and embark on a new career journey. So thank you for taking the time to share your wisdom with us.
Absolute pleasure. We're always here to support. And we really love supporting people that are changing their career, transforming their lives and doing something different. So yeah, absolutely always here to support. Any questions, people can contact me.
All right, Lynn. Have a great day. And I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
You too, Jamal. Goodbye.
Yes, bye-bye.